The following partial recording was taken from the Spirits book by Allan Kardec.
The attributes of the divinity. Pantheism. Question number 10. Can human beings fathom God's innermost nature?
No, they lack the aptitude to comprehend it.
Question number 11. Will they ever be able to fathom the mystery of the divinity?
When their spirits are no longer eclipsed by matter, and when they have finally purified themselves enough to be able to approach God, then they will see and comprehend God.
Author's remarks for question number 11. The inferior nature of their faculties makes it impossible for human beings to fathom God's innermost nature. While humanity is in its infancy, people often confuse God with God's creatures, imputing to God their own imperfections. However, they ponder the nature of things more deeply as their moral sense develops, and thus they acquire a truer, though always incomplete, idea of God that conforms more to reason. Question number 12. Even though we cannot fathom God's innermost nature, can we get an idea of some of the divine perfections?
Yes, some of them. Human beings comprehend them better only as they progressively overcome matter, but they can at least get glimpses of them through thought.
Question number 13. When we state that God is eternal, infinite, immutable, immaterial, one, all-powerful, and supremely just and good, don't we have a complete idea of God's attributes?
From your own point of view, yes, because you believe that in so stating them, you therefore have named all of them. Nevertheless, you should understand that there are things that transcend the intelligence of the most intelligent person, things your language cannot define, because it is limited to your ideas and sensations. Your reason tells you that God must be perfect in those attributes to the nth degree, for if God lacked any of them or was not perfect in them to the nth degree, God would not be superior to everything else, and thus would not be God. In order to be superior to everything else, God must not be subject to any change and must not be imperfect in any way imaginable.
Author's remarks are question number 13. God is eternal. If God had had a beginning, then either God would have had to have sprung from nothing or would have had to have been created by a being that existed previously. Reasoning in this way, we arrive little by little at the idea of eternity and the infinite. God is immutable. If God were subject to change, then the laws that govern the universe would have no stability. God is immaterial. This means that God's nature differs from everything we call matter. Otherwise, God would not be immutable, but would be subject to the transformations of matter. God is one. If there were several gods, then there would be no unity of design or power in the organization of the universe. God is all-powerful because God is one. If God were not powerful above all else, it would mean that there was something more powerful, or at least as powerful. It would mean that God might not have created all things, and those that God did not create would have had to have been the work of some other god. God is supremely just and good. The providential wisdom in the divine laws is revealed in the smallest things as well as in the largest, and this wisdom makes it impossible for us to doubt either God's justice or goodness. Question number 14. Is God a distinct being, or, as some believe, the result of all the combined forces and intelligence of the universe?
If the latter were the case, God per se would not exist, because God would be an effect and not a cause. God cannot be both cause and effect at the same time. You cannot doubt that God exists, and that is the point that matters. Believe me, and do not try to go any farther. Do not get lost in the maze from which you will not be able to exit. Trying to go farther will not make you any better. Instead, it will probably just add to your pride by leading you to imagine that you understand something when you actually understand nothing at all. Therefore, put all theories aside regarding the matter. You have much more important things to be concerned about, beginning with yourselves. Study your own imperfections in order to get rid of them. That will be far more useful to you than trying to penetrate the impenetrable.
Question number 15. What should we think of the opinion holding that all the bodies in nature, all the beings and globes in the universe, are components of the divinity, and taken all together comprise the divinity itself? That is, the pantheistic doctrine.
Since humans are unable to make themselves God, they would like to at least be part of God.
Question number 16. Adherents of this theory claim that it demonstrates some of God's attributes. Since there are an infinite number of worlds, then God is infinite. Since a void or absolute nothingness is nowhere, then God is everywhere. God being everywhere because everything is an integral component of God. God infuses all the phenomena of nature with God's intelligence. What can refute this viewpoint?
Reason. Reflect on it carefully, and you will have no difficulty in seeing how absurd it is.
Author's remarks for question number 16. The pantheistic doctrine views God as a material being who, even though possessed of supreme intelligence, is nevertheless only a larger version of us. Furthermore, since matter is continually changing, then God would have no stability and would be subject to all the changes and all the needs of humanity. God would thus lack one of the essential attributes of the divinity, immutability. The properties of matter cannot be linked to the idea of God without impairing how we think about God, and all the subtleties of sophistry will never be able to solve the issue of God's innermost nature. We do not know all that God is, but we do know what God cannot fail to be. Pantheism contradicts the most essential divine properties by confusing the creator with the creature. It is like regarding an ingenuous machine as being an integral component of the machinist who invented it. God's intelligence is revealed in God's works, just like an artist is revealed in his or her paintings, but God's works are no more actually God than the painting is the artist who conceived and painted it.